Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, inviting you and welcoming you this morning to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in today. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road in the community of Vilas, and that's just a few miles out of Boone, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We'd love for you, if you are in the area visiting and you'd like to worship on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. or Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Sunday school for all ages, 11 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, we'd love for you to come be with us. Or if you do not have a church home, we'd love for you to come and visit with us. And we have a lot of visitors throughout the summer, and we appreciate and always enjoy those who come by to visit with us. But today we're going to just pick up right where we left off a couple of weeks ago in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 10. But before we do all that, I want to say good morning to my son Noah. He's here today, and he's going to welcome our visitors, and I believe he's got an announcement over there.
I do. I want to say good morning. We do have an announcement. There's going to be a gospel singing at Mount Ephraim Baptist Church on Sunday, July 15th at 7 p.m. There's going to be the Allen Yates family and the Edwards family, and it's at Mount Ephraim Baptist Church. If you don't know where that is, it's 3275 on Elk Creek Road.
All right.
And we want to say welcome to our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we love to hear from them from time to time. And I'm going to, as I said, I'm going to get back into what I started about, I guess it's been a month ago now, talking about Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10. Now, if you are just tuning in today and you don't know what I'm talking about, there is a book out. It's called The Harbinger. Jonathan Cahn is the author of that book, and I just sort of happened across it. I went in the Christian bookstore here in Boone, and I was looking for another book, but they had this book, and it was on sale, and it was displayed out front, and I had actually seen it advertised on a website that I go to. And I thought, you know, well, I'll get that book. It looks interesting. And Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10, is a prophecy concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, the judgment of God upon the nation of Israel. And I'm going to read it for you this morning. And I've already talked about this three times already for 3 weeks. And then last week we took a week off because of July the 4th and talked about the Declaration of Independence. But anyway, I'm going to go back and read that. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10. "The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." And this is a prophecy specifically to the children of Israel, but there are many similarities. And this has been applied to what happened on 9/11 in 2001. And not just by some Bible teacher coming along and saying, you know, I think that sounds like 9/11. The day after, September the 12th, 2001, at that time, Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle, he gave a joint resolution concerning the attacks, and this is in part what he said on that day after, the day after the attacks upon America from the terrorists. He said, "I know that there is only the smallest measure of inspiration that can be taken from this devastation, but there's a passage in the Bible from Isaiah that I think speaks to us at times like this." And I think it's interesting how he said that. And I don't believe he's a prophet. I don't even believe he realized what he was reading. He thought he was reading a passage of scripture that would bring comfort and inspiration, but actually Isaiah chapter 9 is talking about a nation that is under the judgment of God because of their unrepentant attitude despite the many warnings that God has sent to the children of Israel. So this is a nation that is under judgment. And he said, he quoted Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10. Now, he is phrased a little bit differently from how I read it out of the King James Bible, but he said, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have failed, but we will replace them with cedars. And today I want to talk about the enemy. I talked about the hedge of protection being taken away from a nation that has fallen out of disfavor with God. And I want to talk today about the enemies. And we've already seen there's many similarities between ancient Israel and modern day America. But I have said this before, I'll say it again. Israel is not America. America is not Israel. They're their own independent nations. We're not trying to make America Israel or vice versa. But there are many, many similarities. And also, God deals with nations on an individual basis, whether they are a righteous nation or whether they are an unrighteous nation. And God deals with nations according to how they treat the nation of Israel. Now, everybody probably that has listened to this radio broadcast for any amount of time, you know, we've went over and over and over about our American history and how that our nation was founded as a Christian nation. You cannot erase or take away the handprint of God from the nation of America. There's just too much evidence. The pilgrims came here seeking religious freedom. They were being persecuted in England and in Holland, and they came and they had a desire to spread the gospel among the heathen, as they said at that time. And all of the early colonies in the Americas, in America, they were religious colonies. They were the Puritans, established by the Puritans, the Congregationalists, the Quakers, the Episcopalians, the Presbyterians, the Baptist in the state of Rhode Island, what is now the state of Rhode Island. All of the original 13 colonies were founded by a religion, and not just any religion, but Christian religion, that believed that the Bible was the Word of God and that Jesus Christ was the way to heaven. Our nation was founded upon that very thing. Now, there were no Muslim colonies. There were no Catholic colonies. These were Christian, Protestant, Baptist, Quaker denominations or religions, however you want to phrase that. But these people founded the colonies in America. And so our history is full of Christian influence. Now, what many people probably do not realize is the arrival of the Jewish people in America and how important that is concerning our history and then our future as well. Now, just a little background concerning the people of the Jewish people. Israel, Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD by the Roman army. And from 70 AD, from that time forward, for 15 centuries, for 1,500 years, that is referred to as the diaspora by the Jewish people, or the dispersion, meaning that from that point, they were dispersed throughout the world and did not have a homeland. They did not have a nation of their own. They were scattered, exiled, persecuted everywhere they went. If you study the history of the Jewish people, you will find these things. They were outlawed. Laws were passed against the Jews coming into a nation. They were tormented, persecuted for 1,500 years. Most nationalities, families, they would not survive that long. But the Jews survived despite or in spite of all of that dispersion throughout all the world. They were never able to find a home for very long until they came to America. And it's interesting to me that the first large group of Jewish settlers found a welcome home, not among the Protestants, but among the Baptists. The first Jews came to Newport, Rhode Island in 1658, which was, at that time, the only colony that had declared religious freedom for everybody, and it was a Baptist colony. And so the first Jews came to Newport, Rhode Island in 1658. Now, you have to keep in mind the significance of God's promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter number 12. He said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless him that blesseth thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. So God made a promise to Abraham and to his children's children's children. I'll bless whoever blesses you. I'll curse whoever curses you. So the Jews came to America, came to the colony of Rhode Island in 1658. There is a book by the Reverend Morris A. Goodstein. He was the ninth rabbi of the Congregation Jeshua Israel Newport. The name of that book is The Story of the Jews of Newport. And he says in that book about the Jews that came to Newport, Rhode Island, he said, in those days, people took their religion seriously, and they were much happier. The meetings of the Baptists and the Quakers were well attended. Among the peaceful and religious inhabitants of Newport, with their prevailing spirit of liberty and tolerance. And let me just say, that was not tolerance like we think of tolerance today. You think of the word tolerance, you think of people that just allow any old thing. But they were not tolerant in that fashion. They were not tolerant when sin was concerned, but they were tolerant for individual soul liberty, meaning that they believed that a man should worship God according to the dictates of his own heart, and that his religious beliefs should not be legislated from the government. That's what it means in these historical documents when they talk about liberty and tolerance. But the rabbi said these 15 Jewish families that arrived in 1658 must have found a hospitable and comfortable abode. Meeting no opposition, they immediately set about to organize their public worship. Then he goes on later in the book. He says, the blessing which God gave Abraham, and in thee shall be blessed all the families of the earth, may be applied to America. And if you were to visit Rhode Island today, you would find one of the earliest Baptist churches in America, and the earliest synagogue in America are just about across the street one from another. And so the Jews came to America. They were blessed with a place where they could have religious freedom. They set up their communities. They set up their synagogues. They came at the earliest stages of America. They came all down through the years after that. They came and came and came. During World War I and World War II, many pilgrims, many that were persecuted, came to America and found a place where they were welcome to come. And America's dealings with the Jewish people make us unique among all the nations of the world, because all the other nations had persecuted the Jewish people, but America received the Jewish people. Now, we're going to talk just a few minutes today in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10 about the enemies that we find that God allowed to come against the nation of Israel. Now, I'm just going to read one verse in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 1. The Bible said over there, and it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. Now, talking specifically about the enemies that God said he would allow to come against the children of Israel. If they didn't repent and get right with God, God was going to send judgment. God was going to allow their enemies to come against them. Now, I want to read just a paragraph from Haley's Bible Handbook about Pekah, king of Israel. That's who we just read about in Isaiah chapter 7 in verse number 1. It says that he reigned from 748 to 730 B.C. a powerful military officer in alliance with Syria. He attacked Judah. Judah appealed to Assyria for help. Then came the king of Assyria and conquered both Israel and Syria and carried away the inhabitants of north and east Israel. This was the Galilee captivity. And this is what happened later on in Isaiah chapter number 9. The hedge, there was a breach in the wall, there was a carrying away into captivity from Israel by the king of Assyria. And what we see in these verses, Isaiah chapter number 7 and chapter number 8, is the aligning and the confederacies of God's people with the heathen nations around them. It is never a good idea for a righteous nation to become entangled with the unrighteous nations. Do you know, in our nation, our founding forefathers had a very simple foreign policy. Originally, they just said, friendship with all, entangling alliances with none. That was the precedent that was set by the founding fathers. We will be friends with anybody that'll be friendly with us, but we're not going to have entangling alliances with other countries that will drag us into their wars, that will drag us into their debt. Do you know that's a lot of the world's problem today, is all these entangling alliances and all these economies that are tied together. And when one falls, it affects all the others. Now, Israel had become entangled with these other nations that were around them, and in the end, it bit them. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7, in verse number 17, the Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. So in Isaiah, the king of Assyria plays into the judgment of God upon them. And I want to talk about the king of Assyria. This was the enemy of Israel. Now, Haley's Bible Handbook says the Assyrians were great warriors. Most nations then were robber nations. The Assyrians seem to have been about the worst of them all. They builded their state on the loot of other peoples. They practiced cruelty. They skinned their prisoners alive or cut off their hands, feet, noses, ears, or put out their eyes or pulled out their tongues and made mounds of human skulls, all to inspire terror. All to inspire terror. Do you know, history books label the Assyrians as the original terrorists. The ancient Assyrian Empire took in all of what we know today as the Middle East. The ancient Assyrian Empire took in land from the Nile River in Egypt all the way across north of Jerusalem in Israel, where it is today, all the way north of that and all the way west to the Persian Gulf in modern-day Iran. The capital of ancient Assyria was Nineveh, which is modern-day Iraq. And I realize that's a lot of information to take in a little period of time. But what I'm getting to a point in all of this, the language of the ancient Assyrians was the Akkadian language. Now, that language is no longer spoken today. It's extinct. But the closest language today to the Akkadian language is the Arabic language. Do you know, if you go to the Middle East today, no matter what country you go to, they speak Arabic? And there's one nation that does not speak Arabic, and that is the nation of Israel, which still speaks Hebrew. They can read the ancient Hebrew text. I had a preacher friend was talking with me about going to Israel, and he saw, they took them in, and they saw the Dead Sea Scrolls, and there was a scroll there. And their guide, the preacher asked him, he said, can you read that? He went over, he read. Now you think about that. Most people can't understand the King James Bible. And if you got a one that was written in the original way that it was written, most people would have a hard time with this. But here this man goes over and reads something out of the Hebrew text that is 2,700 years old. And so you still have the Hebrews, you still have the Akkadian, you have the Arabic peoples over there. Let me put it like this to try to help you understand what I'm saying today. If we could go back 2,700 years ago and we could read the front page paper in Isaiah's day, I realize they didn't have a newspaper, but you imagine with me, if we could go back 2,700 years ago and the front page of the newspaper, do you know what a headline would be at that time? The Arabians of the Middle East threaten the nation of Israel. Do you know there is not much change? We have come full circle. We're all the way back around to the same peoples. We're talking about Iraq. Do you know the newspaper the other day was talking about Iraq? Fear of a failed state, which means they'll go right back to what they were before and worse. The Syrians are on the front page of the newspapers today in the world. Do you know what the Syrians are threatening to do? Assad over there and all his regime, they say if America comes in or if these other nations come in like they did in Libya and try to run him out, he said what we will do, we will attack Israel. They didn't say they'd attack the United States or France or Germany or any of the other United Nations, but he said, you mess with us and we're going to attack Israel. And so we have Iran threatening to close the state of the Strait of Hormuz and causing all kinds of turmoil. And many of the leaders over there in Iran, they say it's time for Israel to disappear. It's time for Israel to be destroyed. The same enemies that were coming against Israel 2,700 years ago are coming against Israel today in 2012. And so I read Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 10 again today. The Bible said the bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together. I noticed that again this morning as I was reading and studying over this. He said that he will join his enemies together. And we see in the Middle East today all of the nations surrounding Israel joining together to come against one nation, the nation of Israel. He said, the Syrians before. You know, Syria is one of the oldest nations in the world. When you read about in the Bible where Paul went into the street called Straight in Syria, you know, you can go to Google Earth and you can look down, you can find that street that it's talking about in Syria. When we're reading about Syria in the Bible, it is the Syria of today. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, that is the land of Palestine today, which is much in turmoil and in dispute all of the time, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. And so the same enemies that came against Israel many, many years ago are still in the headlines today. And let me just throw out a few things. I've got just a few minutes left, but here's the lesson in all of this. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verses 10 through 12, we need to be careful who our alliances are, because they could come back to haunt us. Think about, you know, every modern day politician that's been overseas in the past 20, 25, 30 years, just about all of them, I've seen pictures of them with Muammar Gaddafi. And then just, was it last year, Gaddafi becomes the enemy and we're going to put him out of business. But Gaddafi's been on the payroll from America for years and years and years. And the same thing with Iran. You remember the Iran-Contra affair. The Al-Qaeda has been on the payroll and been orchestrated by the CIA. Same thing with Osama bin Laden. Same thing with Saddam Hussein, Yasser Arafat. These that are terrorists, they have, where we have reached out in friendship and tried to help them, they have turned around and bit us, just like happened to the nation of Israel. Who was responsible for the 9/11 attacks? It was the terrorists. That's what you hear about today, the terrorists. Where were they from? Arabia, Saudi Arabia. What language did they speak? The Arabic language. Who did we go to war with right after 9/11? We went to war with Iraq. Iraq is where ancient Assyria's capital used to be. Would it not be possible that the same terrorists of today have the blood of the ancient Assyrians flowing through their veins? I'm telling you, it's the same group of people that are still involved in the world news. The constant threat we now live with in America is that of a terrorist attack from the Middle East, from Saudi Arabia, from Muslim descent, and on we could go. God said to the nation of Israel in Isaiah chapter 7 in verse number 18, he said, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes." And what God is saying to the nation of Israel, if they don't repent, God said, "I will cause your enemy to come in and fill the land, and they'll be everywhere like flies and bees." And do you know that's where we are in America today with the Islamic movement, the Muslim people? I've got a book called Islamic Invasion by Robert Morey, and he says this in the introduction. Now, this book is from copyright 1992. But he's talking about the Islamic invasion. In England, the situation is amazing. There are now more Arab Muslims in England than there are Methodists. There are more Muslims than there are evangelical Christians, and the Muslims have taken over the country of England. The Muslims have caused many, many problems in the country of Holland. In fact, all throughout Europe, Canada, Dearborn, Michigan, has been taken over by the Muslim population, and this is a real and present threat. The Islamic people, the Muslims, they're not a peace-loving, get-along-with-everybody type of religion like we see, but what the Islam means submission, and that's what they would like to do, is bring everyone under submission of the Islamic religion. Well, the close today, there's a lot in there that we could bring out about that. But Obadiah chapter 1 verse 15 says, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee." And what Obadiah was saying, as you have done to Israel, the same thing is going to be done to you. "As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head." And is it not interesting today that the same enemies that Israel has is the same enemies that America has? The same terrorists that would love to wipe Israel off the face of the earth also hates America and would love to see us come down. In fact, when 9/11 took place in many of these Muslim nations, there was rejoicing in the street over the downfall of America and the fall of the Twin Towers. Same enemies we're talking about today. And so it's very interesting. Our nation is on thin ice as it is with all the wickedness and homosexuality and abortion and rejection of God's word in general, but messing with Israel is sure to be the final straw. And so the only hope for our nation is a return unto the Lord our God, a 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, a return unto the Lord." Well, time is gone today. Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear from you.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org.